Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Janae Angola Jr. right here on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogwumike and Jason Fitz sitting in for Mike Golic Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, it is always so much fun when Jason Fitz is hanging with us. Fitz, how are you doing?
Man,
I know
I'm
it's a five-hour
so
stretch for you, right?
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, is it work when I get to hang out with you and then the great Sarah Spain from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern? I don't think so. So I feel like we're just sort of we're in the good right now. Like, this is all the good feels.
Oh, yes. And I, by the way, I've never been able to, like, really look at you like this because this is ESPN Plus, right? And your background is amazing. Like,
well,
I really should.
Got some
truly
pictures
of. Can you describe for those who are not watching?
There's a Rosebud Motel artwork behind me. Then there's some pictures of the dogs behind me. So I have two different spots. You know, I have Nashville and Connecticut because of work, right? And so the Connecticut one has all my music accomplishments behind me, and this one has life behind me. So
And Rosebud. So we're big. What was the show?
I'm not sure if we can say the name of it because I got dumped the one
Blanks
time I did.
Blanks Creek. That's what we
Blanks
say
Creek.
Here.
But, like, okay, so just like we talk about how certain people say, well, I was into it before that band was cool, I was one of those guys that watched the very beginning of that show and was into it way before everybody else decided it was a phenomenon. So, like, I don't know. I feel like I was kind of ahead of the curve on that.
You were. I actually watched it, was it end of pandemic? And I was like, oh, yeah, definitely worth the hype. I watched that, Blanks Creek, and I also watched The Office, so... Full of laughs. Now,
look at you making the most.
I know,
of it.
Right? Yeah, hold it down. I watch everything. Well, except Marvel, and yeah, I that's a whole other.
That's
conversation
what we have in common. Like, I feel like you and I both have like very strange relationships with Mike Golic Jr. in the sense that we both work with him all the time, and I have no idea what he's talking about whenever he makes a Marvel analogy. I just sit there and smile and nod like I have any clue. I've never seen him. I don't know.
Oh man. Well, I mean, at least we're two peas in a pod there. Okay. You know, obviously. Today, we have so many fun topics. In about 10 minutes, we will get to, you know, questions about the game experience, both for fans and also athletes. But there was a little bit of breaking news. Did you see that, Fitz, during the break about Luka Doncic cashing out?
This is what I like to say. They got paid, right? Like, Luka's in, like, I don't know, and Janae, I've said this a few times. I said this last week about Josh Allen. Like, there are times in my life that I remember, not that long ago, frankly, picking and choosing which ATM I was going to go to, because if I could find an ATM that didn't give me a receipt, I wouldn't have to look at my balance, because you knew that you were just so broke that there wasn't going to be that great of a chance. Like, you don't want to be reminded of how broke you are. I'm not sure. I think I would go to every ATM in the entire area. Like, that's what I'd spend the day doing if I could know that I was depositing $207 million. A five-year extension, $207 million in for Luka. Like, I'd go to the ATM every 10 minutes in different spots, print the receipt, and then accidentally leave it on the floor in case somebody else just wants to see that money. Like, that's what I'd do.
Look, okay, Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, here with Jason Fitz today. Look, once you make that much money, I would do the calculations for, like, as I'm sleeping, how much am I making while I sleep? You know, like, when you're that rich, when you get to say, like, every 10 minutes I'm making this, every hour I'm making that, I would love to crunch those numbers the way we do that with European football players. And I say football, I mean soccer. You guys know what I'm saying. Dallas Mavericks superstar Luka Doncic agreed to a, my goodness, landmark five-year, $207 million super max rookie extension. He told our own Adrian Wojnarowski just a few minutes ago, Bill Duffy, his agent, and clearly Luka Doncic, I mean, one of the most accomplished players in NBA history, even though he's just 22 years old. Man, what we saw him do, you know, we already, like, get mystified by what he's been able to do, hit clutch shots, tough shots, in the regular season of the NBA, still working through the playoffs, trying to advance, but he's only 22 years old, y'all. The Olympics, he took it to another level. Can you imagine your first Olympic game dropping 53 points? Wasn't it like 50-something, 53 points or so? In your first Olympic games, it's nuts. And so watching that, I was like, oh, I know. Let me tell you, I know that they are flying all the way to Slovenia when he's done to make sure that he gets to secure his bag, because that's securing the future of the NBA. So, I mean... Does it feel weird watching seeing those numbers come out, Fitz?
I mean, think about this though. To your point with Luka, and you know, my start here was largely on SportsCenter on Snapchat, right? Like, that was one of the first things I did. And when SportsCenter on Snapchat launched, which would have been 2017, 2018, right around then, when
it's
launched,
so young, Snapchat.
We were doing. I know. we were doing daily rips of Luka. He was playing in Europe. And the whole point was one of our producers was like, look, I think this guy's going to be the first overall pick in the draft. And what he's doing to adult competition in Europe is disgusting, right? So we were doing all these rips of Luka Doncic. And what was amazing to me then was watching somebody that just absolutely, there was nothing that was too big for him. And how many times have we seen throughout this process? Like, you go to Dallas, where there's a lot more attention because, you know, frankly, you've got an owner that everybody has an opinion on. And so, like, there's more eyes on that franchise. Not too big for him. You go to the Olympics, where nobody expects anything from, like, nobody expected anything from Slovenia. And he's like, that's okay. Like, I'm here. And, like, there's never been a moment where I've looked at it and thought, wow, Luka can't figure this out. Now, I will say, obviously, Kawhi in the playoffs was able to. They were able to move their defense around and figure out a way to slow him down as that series went on. But I also look at Luka and say, proof of concept, is any athlete right now I'm comfortable giving $200 million based on what I think they're going to do? Luka's at the top of that list because he continues to evolve. And no matter how much bigger, older, or better the people are that he might be taking on, it's never too much.
I mean, look, all right, Fitz, can you imagine if Luka, which I feel like is going to happen soon, gets a certified star that he's playing alongside, mind you, gets two stars. Do you know how easy the game will be for him? I talked to a number of people, and we just get the notification. I just got the Woj ESPN breaking news one, which is cute. Again, $207 million Supermax rookie contract extension to Luka Doncic. I was talking to some NBA people as I was in Vegas during the USA basketball preparations through the exhibition games versus Australia, Nigeria, France, etc. And people were just like, the way he plays, he's always in control. Like, he may not be the most athletic, but guess what? He's big at the point guard position. He may not have, like, a certified three-point shot, but he's clutch. He hits the ones that matter most. He just has this insane ability to play the game because he's been a pro forever, like, since he was 12, 13 years old, which begs the question here. Jason Fitch, Chinee Ogwumike on ESPN Radio, begs the question. Are you ready for this, Fitz? More impressive Olympic performance? Luka Doncic putting Slovenia on his back? Or Kevin Durant, who obviously 29 points in the gold medal game, and now everyone's saying, does he have the most decorated resume, gold leader in 2012, 2016, and now 2021 plus? You know how that goes.
Okay, so, you know, pressure is a very curious thing. You know, there's no pressure really on Luka in that situation, and he's able to thrive, but he doesn't have anything around him. KD has to go into a very pressure-filled situation where, frankly, there were a lot of people that were loudly calling for, you know, men's basketball team to lose, like blah, 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 like all of this on top of, but if they don't win and they don't make it look easy, then all of a sudden they're not good enough and KD's not good enough. Like, you look at the layers of pressure on KD, I think there's so much more of it that that's why that performance stands out more to me. Even though he had more help around him, the amount of pressure on him to get that done was just absolutely through the roof. So I'll go KD, but not by much.
Yeah, I agree. A lot of times, difficulty goes with expectation, limited expectation of Luka, even though now we're coming to the point where it's like, that man always has a chance when he touches the floor. Like, he's just that good, and it's wild for me. But Kevin Durant to deliver a gold medal in, you know, it's a lot of people don't understand how it's almost like as talented as Team USA, anybody that fields, you know, USA players can go out there and win. Everyone's like, oh, is it this group? I was like, the next group of 12 that you sent from USA could also be favorites, and the following group could be favorites. But it's never easy to play basketball when it's almost done in pickup style. You haven't played with this guy before. You have 2 weeks to get it together and get the rhythm, understand the coach, the philosophy, and all of that. And to have Kevin Durant be able to balance that chemistry but also know when to take over and be that leader, he deserves his, oh gosh, I said it because we said we're going to stop saying deserve your flowers, but he deserves his respect. That's the thing between Michael Jr. and I, Fitz, that, you know, we say normalize too much and this person give them their flowers. Like, but in this term, I really do think that Kevin Durant deserves some respect because in a year where it's difficult, in a year where many stars sat out of the Olympics, he showed up and showed out, and to me, at the end of the day, went home with gold and continues to add to his legacy. Now the pressure's on Brooklyn. No excuses coming up after this offseason, but a very, very solid performance for Kevin Durant to round out this year. But coming up next, Fitz, what are we going into with this fan-athlete decision?
Okay, so something happened today in sports that I think could change the in-game experience for fans everywhere. The question is, do athletes even really care? I want to get your thoughts on it. I'm going to pose a question to Chiné as the person on the floor from me as the person in the stands. And we're going to do it next. Chiné Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Chiné and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Excited to be here on the back half of the show after practice, largely because this next segment in about 10 minutes, we'll get to my side piece team, the New England Patriots, as we play three and out and prepare you for the upcoming NFL season. Yes, it's okay. The whole point of this, Fitz, is to have a fresh start. So why don't we just give some decent energy? I guess you're just like the
The Raiders your side piece.
Sad Raiders fan. I don't know.
Perpetually sad my butt. This, you know what? This is their year, all right? And besides, you play in L.A. Shouldn't your side piece be the Chargers or the Rams?
This was different, though. Like, last year, I was just looking for other teams to root for, and it was New England, and I believe it was the Cardinals and the Patriots because I was happy for the opportunity for Cam Newton. But in about 10 minutes, we'll get to the three biggest questions that the Patriots have to answer in the hunt for a Super Bowl in 2021. But right here, we have some questions that need to be answered. It's Chiné Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. And no, that's not Golic Jr. in falsetto. That is Jason Fitz right here, our musically inclined favorite man holding it down. Chiné Golic Jr. is brought to you by Samsung Galaxy. You won't be able to go back to mediocre after this. Are you ready for this life? Ooh. Find out at Samsung.com/reserve. By the way, like, that's a read right there. Are you ready for this life? Like, that's one of those things that you hear and it hits your soul. Shout out to Samsung for that. But you had an interesting scenario that actually just got cemented. Oh, yeah. You know, intersection of money and betting, sports, fans and athletes, all of it's colliding in an experiential type of one format. So can you explain that, Fitz?
Yeah. So for me, you know, are you ready for this life? Like, are we ready for a life of integration of sports gambling and, you know, sports live? And I think the answer to that we all know is yes. But now we see a big step forward being taken by the Cardinals, who become the first NFL team to partner with a casino, and they'll have betting in the stadium. So, you know, it raises some questions. And I was talking about this earlier on the show while you were busy working your tail off to be great like you always do. And it was interesting to me because there are layers to this. You know, how transparent will it be? How will people feel about the action in the stadium? But I also wonder if in the stadium they're going to put specific action that you can't get anywhere else. Like, I think right now more than ever there's a draw to say, how do we get people away from their fancy TVs, their great speakers, and their homemade nachos into the arenas and stadiums? And that really had me thinking for you as an athlete, especially within the WNBA, which is so centered on making sure that the sport is growing, like, how involved, if at all, are you guys in just looking at the fan experience? Because, like, I'll go back to when we were putting together tours in the music business. We would sit down for weeks, even as we were rehearsing, and say, okay, is there a song here that we could put in for, like, fans that have been here a long time? Should we, as a band, should we be investing in bracelets that light up different ways for fans that have come to different shows? Like, any way you can find to say, how can we take a regular fan and turn them into a super fan? And that seems like part of the logic. But I don't know, like, do athletes even really care about that in the middle of everything else that you're in the middle of doing?
Oh, yes. Yes. Like, the more money, the merrier, not just for our contracts, but also for the business of sports. And that's, like, on 100 when it comes to women's sports. And so this is really fascinating, the fact that in arena, in game, live betting that could be exclusively used to promote fan engagement, that could be a game changer for any of us. Mind you, we have a WNBA team that is actually two that are completely connected to casinos, the Connecticut Sun playing at Mohegan, and then the Las Vegas Aces that play at MGM with MGM.
My so, Las Vegas Aces, yes.
Oh, gosh. I told you can't say that when you're working with me, all right?
I'm sorry.
But it's okay. I'm just happy that you are not just a casual fan, that I need you to come to a game and get bets so that you're a super fan. You're just automatically a super fan. But I love this because, one, it motivates the fans to feel like they're in some kind of exclusive experience, not just, oh, I'm at the game and it's cool. It's like, because I'm at the game, I have higher odds to be able to make money because of this contingency that we get with betting live. And then, two, that just helps athletes feel better about, all right, if there's more money being spent here, that means that my job is more secure and there's more money for me in my contract. So it's win-win. Now, the only line I will say, Fitz, is like, hopefully it's not a distraction where people are coming for the right reasons. I always find it extremely fascinating that, you know, when we play the Las Vegas Aces, And when I was in Connecticut playing for the Connecticut Sun, a lot of the people that came to watch us were people that just happened to go to the casino and bet. And then they're walking and they're like, oh, there's a WNBA game going on. They go in and then they're fans. Now imagine those people that like betting that are walking through the casino can now say, oh, shoot, we can go in there and bet on the game. Like, that's making something more appealing to that person that's already there. And we generalize it to the common public where now everyone cares about betting. And so it just is creating these channels that make sense for where the game is going. So, yeah, I'm as an athlete, I'm here for it. And now as a fan, are you here for it, Fitz?
Oh, yeah. And by the way, there's nothing harder than casino shows for musicians because, like, a lot of people don't realize this. Like, what you just said, you walk in and the first 10 rows are usually reserved for VIPs that have, like, diamond status. So, you know, it's never a real fan. They're sitting there with their arms crossed. They showed up 10 minutes late. They leave 5 minutes early. They have no interest in the music you're playing. You have to end at an exact time because they're judging you based on how much your fans spend in the casino over the course of the night. So, like, that's how you're actually judged as an act. So you can't like, you want to do an extra encore? No, because they want them back out on the gambling floor. Like, it's a such a stale environment. I could totally feel that. But for a fan walking in and knowing, like, okay, things that we bet on at the Super Bowl that aren't usually televised, like the anthem's not usually televised, give me a bet on how long the anthem's going to be. Have some of the players, like, or some of the bench warmers during halftime come out and shoot around in some sort of game of horse that we can bet on. Like, give me some, like, skills competitions and things on the side that are going on that aren't even, like, part of the actual broadcast, but if you it makes you want to go. And it if you take your family and they have this big fun experience within an arena, whether the people that are capable of it are gambling or not, that's what it takes, I think, to get people to want to spend the money that it takes to bring your family to a game. And I think it's huge.
You know who should get a cut of this? Panda, the lady that is on the unicycle.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, does the plate stuff spinning. Like, imagine, like, oh, the bet's really serious today because halftime we're gonna figure out, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah. How many plates can Red Panda spin? Yeah, I'm all in on this.
Like, 100%. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Here for
this. Give me bull riding in the middle of it. Give me bull riding at mid-court in the middle. Like, let's go semi-pro and, like, somebody's going to wrestle a bear. We're putting odds on it. Let's go.
Ooh, you say bull riding. It's so funny. As a Texan, my favorite thing, shout out to those who know what this is, mutton busting.
Mutton busting.
Yes,
mutton busting.
You know mutton busted.
Yeah, okay. The first time you play. Oh, yeah. The first time you play the Houston Rodeo. Like, I thought they were kidding when they were like, hey, make sure you're on the stage by the time the mutton busting happens, because that's when we're going to start to roll the stage out to the middle of the. And I was like, oh, this is real? Oh, yeah, mutton busting.
How about this? Coming up next, we will tell everyone who does not know what that is exactly what mutton busting is. My goodness. I need to go back to Texas and work on my language. Go back to Texas and also talk about these New England Patriots. That's coming up next on Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN. Oh, gosh, just take me to break in ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, mutton busting is officially the children's version of bull riding. So you have kids go out there and they ride sheep, some muttons. And it's super cute and it's the best part of any rodeo. And I'll work on my Texas accent later. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Jason Fitz holding it down with us today while Mike Golic Jr. is out there probably. I don't know. What is he doing? Soaking it up, soaking up some sun, having a good time.
He's living the dream. But I'm telling you, Janae, you can't play country music as long as I did professionally and not see more mutton busting than you ever imagined. And by the way, don't put the G on the end of it. It's mutton busting. Like, yeah, there's no G. Yep. You know,
so like Atlanta, not Atlanta. Yeah. It's Atlanta. It's mutton busting. Like, growing up, that's what we did. That's what we did.
And the kids wear, so even at that age, they're still wearing tight, like, jeans and huge cowboy hats. It's really phenomenal.
It. That's how we do it. By the way, go to YouTube and check that out because it's the best. It's going to be the best usage of
not
your time.
On a work computer.
We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Again, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. Now, we are nearing the start of the NFL season. I can't believe it. That means summer is almost over. Shout out to the parents who have been holding it down over the course of the past few months. And we want to make sure you're set for this NFL season. So let's cue the music. We're going to give you the three biggest questions for each and every team. We've already covered the Miami Dolphins today. So let's go to the next team. What's the squad?
The New England Patriots.
Let's go, Patriots fans. I know everyone back home in Connecticut is going crazy, except for those who really have other teams like Jason Fitz, but just rock with us here. Time to get to New England's biggest three questions, And to get these answers, we're very grateful to be joined right now by Ben Volen of the Boston Globe. He's a senior NFL writer there on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, Ben, how you doing and are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready. Just got back from another full padded Patriots practice. Fire up those questions. Let's do it.
Let's go. Here we go. Number three.
Number three.
Three and out, baby. All right. So what is the best case quarterback scenario right now for the New England Patriots? Because we know we saw some good, but not that much from Cam Newton. They were really struck with COVID this past season. You draft Mac Jones. So what's the best case scenario for the quarterbacks?
I mean, the best case scenario is that Mac Jones is kind of this year's Justin Herbert, that the guy that the team's passed over a little bit. It's just he comes out and he's got a blazing, you know, rookie season, and he proves right away that he's the franchise quarterback. I think realistically, the best case scenario is if Cam Newton wins the starting job, holds on to it for the year because he's healthy and productive, and Mac Jones gets to sit for a year, a la Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City a few years ago. I think Belichick would prefer to go into the season with Cam, the veteran, the established guy, as the starter, and bring Mac along slowly and make sure that when it's Mac's turn to play that he's over-prepared. And if Cam can stay healthy and productive, I think that's going to be the case. But I also don't think Belichick is just going to stick by Cam blindly this year. And if Cam is not performing, Belichick will make the move. But I think best-case scenario is Cam is productive. He plays 17 games. And they can sit Mac Jones and bring him along at a nice slow pace.
All right, Ben, let's go to the next question.
Number two.
Everybody said the Patriots don't spend money, and they did in droves this offseason. So what does that say about how they're expecting to do this season internally?
Well, I don't think 7-9 was very acceptable, and you know, they can kind of couch it as last year was a reset year, as a, you know, a weird COVID season. They definitely didn't spend any money last year, but no one was happy with 7-9. And let's be honest, that Tom Brady guy going down to Tampa Bay and winning a Super Bowl, I think that raised the temperature on the folks in New England as well. They don't want to be, you know, viewed as a team that could only win with Tom Brady. So they went out and spent a record amount of money in free agency, over $175 million fully guaranteed. They brought in 8, 9, 10, 11 new starters on both sides of the ball combined. They want to win. They want to win quickly. They got veteran players. It's not a slow draft and develop kind of rebuild. They want to get back to being a contender in the AFC right away.
Chenan Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. We're talking about the New England Patriots getting you set there. And we're talking to Ben Volen of the Boston Globe. Now to our most pressing question, number one.
Number one.
Ben, you just mentioned it. Record amount of money over the course of the offseason. 11 new starters. What is the current maybe level of concern for Patriots fans for making sure that these offensive weapons sort of sync together well? And who are the ones that we should be watching?
Yeah, I don't sense a ton of concern right now. There's a, you know, maybe less excitement than you've seen in years past just because there's no Brady and Gronk and Edelman and all the guys that the fans grew to love. The player I'm definitely most excited about is Jonnu Smith, one of the two tight ends the Patriots signed in the offseason, the other being Hunter Henry. And Henry's going to be your more traditional tight end, more of the Rob Gronkowski type guy. And Jonnu Smith is the move tight end. He's just an incredible athlete. A man his size should not be able to run as fast as he does, and he's very proficient in as a run blocker as well. But I think Josh McDaniels is really going to have a lot of fun using Jonnu Smith as kind of a matchup piece, get him isolated on different defenders and find ways to get him the ball. The Patriots offense is clearly going to run through the two tight ends, Henry and Smith, and I really like what Smith brings to the table so far.
Well, Ben, we appreciate your time setting us up for the upcoming season through the eyes of the New England Patriots. Enjoy a little bit more of normalcy, being back out there, being able to watch practice, and make sure you follow him at Ben Volen on social media. Thanks so much, Ben.
Thanks, Ben.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Well, we will tackle the Bills and the Jets tomorrow in three and out, but Fitz, if we think about Bill Belichick, he did something atypical. He spent money, invested in getting weapons. Can you, like, answer this as unbiased as possible? How are you feeling overall with, you know, what Bill Belichick has done and the outlook moving forward?
Yeah, so I think that there's a real conversation to be had about, like, I don't care what happened last year, because what Bill did last year is what most teams do. They took a flyer on a quarterback and it didn't work out. I'm not going to penalize the team for that. Most teams do that at some point. This year becomes the real measure, though, because if we want to acknowledge that last year was a reset year, and I think that it's unfair to look at Brady and Belichick under the same time frame. Brady's got to win now. Belichick's got to set a franchise up for dominance that will last for years. I have no problem saying, hey, it's a different time frame. There's different expectations. But the problem is Bill chose to run it back. So if he's choosing to run it back with Cam, and then they're going to put all this money into these players that come in, and I think Jonnu Smith has the opportunity to be really special there. If it's not, then yeah, I think we should finally have some heat, some not heat, but at least we should be looking at Belichick saying, "What? Well, what's up here, man? Like, you're the GOAT. Why aren't you getting GOAT things done? Like, I'm not going to do that after 1 year, but if this year they don't right the ship, absolutely I will.
And if this year they don't right the ship, I may really have to permanently remove them from being one of my side piece teams. I'm still looking for new ones. I don't know if I'm going to pick the Raiders, though.
Like, Vegas is a quick flight from L.A.? Like, you just hop over after
they
got to
show me
thing.
Something, though. I need a contender, okay? I need a real-life contender. Not saying that the Patriots and the Raiders aren't, but I just like to sort of, like, do what Mina Kimes did with the Brooklyn Nets and have a little fun. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that didn't get her a championship. So.
That is true. So we got to pick very well. But coming up next, as we keep that same energy, we've got some good news from the world of football because, man, it's been a struggle as of late. So find out what exactly that is next on Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Stay with us.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Thank you to everyone who joined us today on Janae and Golic Jr. plus Fitz on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Tim McManus, our own ESPN Eagles reporter, Steve Levy, host of Monday Night Football, Kywan Dukes, Johnson C. Smith, receiver up next here. And then also, of course, Jason Fitz himself, okay, for coming through and holding it down while Mike Golic Jr. is out gallivanting in the sun. No, he's probably doing something really important because he's going to get geared up for college football season. But nonetheless, thank you to everyone for joining us today on Janae and Golic Jr. Fitz, what was your experience so far, my friend?
Well, you know what? I feel like the first hour and a half was some of the best radio that's ever happened at ESPN.
The shade.
And since then, it's been, you know, it's been pretty good.
Ah! Yo, just first of all, shout out to everyone who came and joined us. Because your girl's in practice, and so sometimes I'm not able to catch up on my ride over. But really, Warwick Dunn, Amber Wilson, Chris Fowler, Mina Kimes, and of course, Ben Volen. Because I'd probably looked at some other email for who joined us. But you know what? That's what I get for trying to have two jobs at once. Sometimes the ball bounces away from you. But it's okay. I'm
you
great at getting
Janae,
steals and slam dunking
Janae,
it.
This is my reminder that you dominate everything you do, and you are absolutely the queen of so many things. It's awesome to watch you balance as much as you do. And I have a blast getting to hang out with you because I'm hanging out with the damn rock star. That's all I'm saying.
Yo, I have so much fun because you are Mr. Positivity. I love your energy. And speaking of which, let's get straight to that. Keep that same energy.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
One thing about Jason Fitz filling in here and we getting to be teammates is that anytime there's music playing, I get to see him dance, and that makes me very happy. Keeping that same energy. Wow, it seems like Ole Miss head football coach Lane Kiffin had a pretty good day because the NFL and the world of football has been pretty vocal when it comes to vaccinations, and the Ole Miss football program has a 100% vaccination rate among its players, coaches, staff members, and all personnel. He said, quote, "It's pretty amazing and great motivation for our fans and the state. And speaking of the state, I believe that Mississippi ranks last in the U.S. in terms of residents who have had at least one vaccination dose. So for his entire football organization to be 100% at the vaccination rate, it's very impressive, Fitz."
Well, not only is it impressive to have accomplished it, no doubt Lane Kiffin knows how to use a microphone to accomplish what he needs to accomplish. This is never an accident. He's stepping up in front of the podium, letting everybody know this is what we've done, because I think partially he wants to send a message to everybody else within the state, you know, just people, but also other programs. Because remember, if they have a 100% vaccination rate, they can also step up and say nothing that happens at this point will be on us. So whatever happens is on y'all. And that may be the only way Ole Miss can win as many games as they want this year. But realistically, hey, keep that same energy, Lane. It's nice to see him on the right side of this messaging.
Precisely. And shout out to our TV department for the final, you know, segment. We're on TV, so the real ones watching on ESPN Plus and also listening on radio. You got to see us close things out, keeping that same energy. My goodness, drop the mic. Isaac Bruce at the 2021 Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony dropped the mic, reminding the doubters that, hey, you know what? How you like me now? It was amazing. Take a listen to this.
That called me 2 weeks before the draft in 1994 to let me know that the NFL wasn't checking for me. They didn't like me. They like more of NFL legend Bertie Manuel and Ryan Yabara. I know you're alive. I know you're listening. I pray God keep you alive for this day. So my message to you is, rap legend Kool Moe Dee wanted me to ask you how you like me now.
Oh, man, that's Isaac Bruce, Hall of Fame wide receiver. Oh, my gosh, at his enshrinement ceremony. How you like me now? First of all, he's been waiting on that his whole life. He's been waiting on that.
Yeah.
And he said, God kept you alive for this moment to see me winning. Like, what flex? That's crazy.
And look, I used to always say when I was trying to make it music, I was like, man, if I ever get to give a thank you speech, I'm going to give a thank you speech to everybody that ever turned me down, because there's a lot of people that tell you no along the way. However, that was a younger, you know, let's say angrier version of me. Now, like, all of that sort of in the past, I love seeing that still fires up a hall of, like, you are a Hall of Famer. And in your moment of greatness, you're looking around and you're like, hey, all y'all there? Nope. How you like me now? Like, I'm all in for that level of just swagger in your big moment.
Honestly, just that's a bar to drop. Like, I'm a hit a shot. Be like, how you like me now? Huh? Haters are our motivators. Keeping that same energy. Can't hate the pocketbooks. Miami Hurricanes quarterback De'Aaron King talking about NIL football, making some waves. New deal with the NHL's Florida Panthers, and it's really cool because he's the first college player to sign an endorsement deal with the Panthers, the NHL announced, and he will appear at some of the Panthers games and events, engage with fans on social media, and produce digital content. And the deal also calls for him to work with the Panthers to develop a merchandise collection. And so I'm like, wow, I love this synergy among cities and teams, but my goodness, like, how creative are we going to be now that we are allowing the college athletes to get paid? It's going to be really cool, the storylines, the narratives, and how the cross promotion is going to happen in real time. Don't you love it, Fitz?
Well, yes, but I'm also sort of laughing at it, because what everybody was saying, including me and including Mike and everybody that covers college sports, we kept saying, hey, look, this is really going to hit like the 1%. De'Aaron King is a big name, and I think Caesars William Hill right now has him as sixth in the current Heisman standings. But you're not talking about, like, the guy. And he's just racking in, like, one after the other, after the other, after the other. Like, we thought it was going to be the 1%. I think it's the 1% on every team in every market, to whatever that market means. Like, being the quarterback of the Miami Hurricanes has value. We have learned that. If you are a good quarterback and you play for the Miami Hurricanes, you're going to get paid. So how many recruits are looking at this saying, well, I could go over here and play for this school, but I could also get that Florida Panthers money on over here. So I think it's a statement of how many guys are getting that bag now, which I am all for, by the way.
And one thing you bring up I love is the fact that when one person does it, it opens the pathway for that to become precedent, right? One athlete gets this deal. Maybe the next athlete that steps into that spot gets that deal, and that's how you pass it forward through name, image, and likeness. Now, Fitz, it's been so much fun, but I have one more question that we didn't get to delve into. We just concluded the Tokyo Olympics. They just had this closing ceremony. Was it yesterday or the day before? Who knows? It's COVID time, so they all blur together. And we discovered that you have an Olympics tattoo. Now, any athlete that competes in the Olympics, you always see them with the rings on because it's such an honor and elite thing to do. And Fitz performed in Rio for Team USA, so you got your Olympics rings tattoo. I think it's cool because not many people are a part of the team. You are a part of the team, trying to motivate, hold it down musically. So I would have said it's appropriate. I don't know
why some people say it's
not,
but I'm like, they say it's not because I didn't compete in the Olympics, and I'm like, well, I didn't compete in the Super Bowl either, but we played the Fox broadcast for the Super Bowl, so I have that on my tattoo also. Like, I didn't have to be in these events as an athlete to have it matter, you know, to put on the arm. I'm proud of the Olympic rings on the arm. I'm looking forward to it. Although, if they want to add cornhole, I feel like in 2028, I'm gonna win a medal.
Oh, really? Cornhole's your game?
No, I mean, I've got plenty. Like, anything that you can do drunk before a country music concert, I'm going to be pretty good at. I'm just saying.
I would love to see spades added for the culture. Coming up next,
oh
what show
God,
is it,
yes.
Fitz? Is it more you?
Spade
I think
and
so.
Fitz!
I think so.
Spade
Sing it.
And Fitz!
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.